Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Peter Carney. He's no pop icon, and he's not much of a fan of modern chorus music. But this unashamed and self-described folky is the man behind some of the most popular and enduring modern Christian worship songs. He's been a full-time musician for many decades, and the creative passion of his life has been a musical narrative on the life of St. Francis of Assisi called Good Morning People, which has been tremendously popular amongst Catholic churches around the world. Peter was first encouraged in songwriting by the late Father Ted Kennedy, the well-known Sydney priest remembered for his work in Redfern, who at the time was also the Catholic chaplain of Sydney University. And Peter was a university student when he wrote Fill My House and the Beatitudes. Well, more than 40 years on, Peter is still working and his style is still very fresh.
Oh, make me an instrument of your peace, Lord. Make me an instrument of your peace.
My first well-known song was written when I was 19 years of age in 1966, and it's called Fill My House. At that time, I'd got to know Father Ted Kennedy, who was the Catholic chaplain at Sydney University, and I'd sung a couple of songs to him that I'd written, and he must have seen promise there because he encouraged me to have a go at writing some what would have been called folk hymns. It was just a couple of years after Vatican II, and there was like the invitation for a new kind of music. So over about a six-week period, I wrote Fill My House and the Beatitudes, which also became quite well known, and 14 other songs. And the amazing thing was that they got published by J. Albert and Son, who were quite big publishers in Sydney, or didn't really publish a lot of religious music.
They're yes.
mainly known for publishing people like AC/DC and the Easy Beats and that kind of thing. They took a punt on this collection. There was never a recording, it was only ever a book.
Yeah.
But through word of mouth, they got around in an amazing way. They sort of Fill My House and the Beatitudes, in particular, became known all around the world.
God of the mess that we're in, you still bless us and feel every bump when we fall. You see the good in our hearts and you know how we struggle. You fathered and mothered us all. You see through the eyes.
The problem now is to get heard amongst the volume of material that's out there. Back in the day when you were first writing those tunes, it was a very unknown and as you said, risky venture.
I think, Stephen, it was just right time, right place. there was no calculation on my part. It was just through Ted Kennedy knew somebody in Albert's and arranged an audition for the songs, and they took them on. And because they were new, because there wasn't much like that around at the time, without any assistance, they took off just through word of mouth. I've met many people, many, many people who come up and say, I remember when I heard that song when I was at school, or I learned to play the guitar with that song.
Oh, yes.
You're right about now. I mean, I've published 15 CDs of my compositions, but no songs have ever become any remotely as well known as those ones that came out in 1966.
With no
recording. Now you can,
that's right.
You can make the CD and put out the music book at the same time. And
well, you've got to. And you've got to be on YouTube and in all the other media as well.
Yes, that's right. So just right time, right place.
But it's interesting. So the 60s, both in the Catholic Church and also within the Protestant movement, there was a real explosion of what you've called folk hymns, but this popular style of worship song, which was so different from the hymns we'd sung. What do you think was the need that was filling?
I suppose that, people, like in the Catholic Church, you know, there were songs like Faith of Our Fathers, you know, it had been sung forever, and there just seemed to be a very narrow range of songs that people were singing, and I suppose they came from some approved hymn book, but the range was very narrow. And so when Vatican II met, they just tried to revive to give some life to this liturgy, to the liturgies.
And what do you think it meant to the people who heard this music and responded to it?
Well, just that it was something fresh and new, Stephen. That's all. They still liked their old songs, but the new ones came along. And in the end, you know, there was just so much material. I mean, there was this incredible amount of material, as you said, that came through. And probably now the difficulty would be more that there's so much and there's not the same, what could you call, canon of songs, of hymns that are well known to all.
So yes.
I think that there is a kind of a process that goes through when lots of the chaff gets winnowed off and some hymns, folk hymns, prove to have enduring qualities, and it's a long process, isn't it?
I speak to my prophet Isaiah. Go and tell all my people why they're missing me. Go raise up your voice like a trumpet. Go and shout with a loud voice as great as the sea. For my people are saying that they worship me, and they claim they are eager to know all my ways and obey all my laws and long for me near. Ah, but lately I'm hearing them ask if it pays.
Peter, we have this debate. You've mentioned the canon of songs. We have this perennial debate about whether the worship music that we're singing these days is scriptural, or whether it's a little bit more like a love song to Jesus. Not necessarily being a bad thing in itself, but people talk in derisive tones about the Jesus is my boyfriend style of worship song. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I have that feeling too. Many songs are like love songs with a few religious terms thrown in. I think that something's lost in that way.
Yes, because it's when you are writing. You are writing. Your works are very deeply based in the scripture. So the Beatitudes is one of your most well-known of works, and you still perform that, don't you?
I do. Yes.
And do you ever write in the newer styles?
I'm basically a folky. In other words, my performance is just simple voice and guitar without effects, just necessary amplification, and with emphasis on good lyrics and generally hoping to be thought-provoking. A great influence on my writing was a man who came probably a decade or more ahead of the whole folk hymn movement, and yet his name was Sidney Carter. If you've heard of him, but you'll certainly know his most famous song, Lord of the Dance.
Mm, indeed.
Which was, it's over 50 years old now.
Really?
I mean, yeah, but it still sounds as fresh as anything.
I dance for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I dance for the fisherman, for James and John, they came with me and the dance went on. Dance,
his song. His songs are quite thought-provoking. Like there's one called Judas and Mary, another one called Son of Man. You know, they always kind of got something in there that they're based on scripture, but in a way that causes people to think again.
When you're performing, as a performer, there are a lot of things going on. You're thinking the audience through. You're thinking about the next thing you'll say between the songs. You're concentrating on the melodic line, you've got your fingers, you know, going all which ways on the guitar. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get into the zone, don't you? And I'm just wondering, when you get into that zone, is that a practice of worship for you?
A favourite person of mine is St. Francis of Assisi. I read a book about St. Francis when I was in my 20s and wrote a couple of songs inspired by a biography I'd read, and then I read a lot more, and gradually the idea formed of writing a whole cycle of songs and narration and what you call a narrative in song.
Hmm.
And, of course, his most famous prayer is, make me an instrument of your peace.
Hmm.
And that's I've done a setting of that, and that's a part of this sequence I eventually composed called Good Morning, Good People. And I suppose, in answer to your question, that's the way that I feel, that when everything's going well and you're in the zone, you feel hope that you are an instrument, and you hope that you are an instrument of peace and inspiration and a way of bringing joy. It's amazing how it's like the old caterpillar story when he started to think about how he, what is it, the centipede, how he started to move his 100 legs, he fell in a heap. But you just, when you're doing it without reflecting too much on how you're doing it.
Oh, make me an instrument of your peace, Lord. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is injury, let me so pardon. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is doubt, let me so faith. Make of me an instrument of peace. Where there is sadness, Lord, let me bring your joy. Where there's darkness, Lord, let me bring your light. And to despair, Lord, to dark despair, let me be the one to bring you home. Oh, make me an instrument of your peace, Lord. Make me an instrument of your peace.
Oh, divine master, grant that I may seek more to be consoling than to be consoled, more to understand than to be consoled.